midfield, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, I better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seip.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And we welcome you to the Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Got some good perspective on Sunday's game against the Steelers coming from a national guy. He is, of course, with CBS Sports, Solomon Wilcott. Kind of an interesting circle that's been drawn here. Solomon and Kevin Harlan for CBS were assigned to the Browns' 2011 season opener at Cleveland Browns Stadium against the Bengals. And now they get to do the finale. They have not done any Browns games in between, but they will be here Sunday. So we're going to check in with Solomon and get his thoughts on the Browns. I know he studies, as he studies all the teams that he covers for CBS, but I know, and he also works for SiriusXM NFL Radio, I know he has some great insights and really breaks down the tape and can give a good analysis. And I'm going to ask him about just some big picture questions, the ones that you, the listeners, have on your mind about how the Browns can make themselves better. Get an outsider's take on that. We also have Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. You know that name and you know that website. And you also know his involvement with NBC Football Night in America every Sunday night. He joins Peter King as they break down the NFL, what's going on, the news and notes. Always good gossipy stuff from Mike Florio. He's a lot of fun to talk with, and he joins us for the second time since we've been on the air with this show. Good friend, known him a long time, and really get some good stuff from Mike Florio on the show as well. And the other thing that we like to do before a Browns game on Thursdays is chat with our resident historian, Steve King, who will talk about the history of the series of the Browns and Steelers. Now, we, of course, did this once a few weeks ago, so in part two, sort of this concept, we go in a little different direction and find the many connections between the two teams, the Ohio connections and just the connections between the two towns. Interesting stuff from Steve King, who will break that down for us on the show as well. We have our daily poll question. Of course, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube, and that's always a fun thing to have interaction with fans about that. And our daily poll question today is, on this show, do you think the Browns defense will continue their success against the run? Excuse me. Do you think the Browns defense will continue? We bring that up. I wrote a column that I encourage you to check out on ClevelandBrowns.com. Encourage you to check out all our content, the great stuff from Matt Florjancic, our staff writer, all our video content that we have there as well. But I've got a piece there that talks about how well this team has played against the run the last few weeks. So highly encourage you to do that. Encourage you, of course, to respond to our poll. And we'll give you the results of that poll at the end of the show. We'll go into our Ask Vic, and you pose those questions on our Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. And we've gotten several questions regarding the possibility of the Browns hiring an offensive coordinator for next season. So I'll wrap it up with one at Original Manis 7. Would Pat Shurmur consider hiring an offensive coordinator? That's the blanket question. But other names were kicked in. Joseph had asked from Facebook about whether they would consider bringing in Bernie Kosar to run the offense. And I thought that was intriguing. And my selfish answer is, man, I hope not, because I love Bernie as a regular on the show. I don't want to lose him for that. But if he were to help make the offense better with his presence in some role, Obviously, I would have absolutely nothing to say about that, but it's fine. But selfishly, Bernie's so great with us, and I really want to keep him on the show. And I don't know. I've never really discussed with him any specific thought as a coach. My gut feeling is that's not his cup of tea. And then Rod also asked, would the Browns consider bringing in Todd Haley? So to answer the general question about whether that's something Pat Shurmur would consider doing, the answer is yes. Unequivocally, he's going to take a hard look at everything, as the whole organization will, about how to make this team better. And I think that's a possibility that's on the table. I do, for 2012. We'll just see how it comes together. And we know that's something a lot of you have on your mind. All right, in a couple of minutes, Solomon Wilcots, former NFL player, played for the Bengals, and a current analyst for CBS Sports. He and Kevin Harlan will be on the call for Sunday's game against the Steelers. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily, which is driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.
Year-end savings have arrived at Liberty Ford. Liberty has more vehicles in stock than ever before, with thousands on sale to choose from, like the best-selling 28 mile per gallon Escape, or lease the fuel-efficient Ford Edge for just $219 a month. That's right, lease the Edge for only $219 a month. Hurry in now to get the best savings of the year at Liberty Ford. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all of those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
If you're a football fan, chances are it's been a lifelong passion. Did you know that over those same years, your oral care needs have also changed? From the ages of 30 to 50, science shows that plaque formation increases 337%, dry mouth increases 304%, and gingivitis increases 22,000%. So how do you fight oral aging with the grit and determination of a sports fan? Turn to Age Essential Mouthwash. It's so strong, it's been scientifically proven to kill germs for up to 16 hours. Help prevent the effects of oral aging. Fight back and stay strong with Oasis Age Essential Mouthwash. Available at your local Discount Drug Mart in the oral care section.
Attention, attention.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history, because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. Call 1-800-300-8291. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the Rosetta Stone solution is easier than ever before. For your free demo, call 1-800-300-8291. 1-800-300-8291.
Looking for a unique holiday party destination? Go to the Bocce Club at Freeway Lanes in Wickliffe. They have 4 professional full-length bocce courts, and the surfaces are directly from Italy. They are the only courts like it in Ohio. World-class bocce, affordable, and they can serve you small or large, no matter what your party size. Freeway Lanes in Wickliffe. Go to freewaylanes.com to book your party. That's freewaylanes.com to book your bocce party now.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealer.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Warren Road and Lakewood Heights Boulevard, you have an accident there. 77 southbound after Route 82. Report of metal debris in the left lane to slow you down. You do have some heavier traffic. Jennings Freeway southbound between 90 and Harvard Denison, and 77 southbound around Rockside. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
Motown Wednesday actually becomes a Motown Thursday with Dave DiNatale playing this great rejoin, little Stevie Wonder. Absolutely, absolutely. That's right. I didn't have Dino with me on a Wednesday, so we get him on a Thursday, and we get ourselves some good Stevie Wonder, good Motown. And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This segment with Solomon Wilcox is brought to you by Madden NFL 12. It's in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. And we're very happy to welcome now for our network analyst spot, Solomon Wilcox, who will handle the analysis of Sunday's game for CBS. He'll be on the call with Kevin Harlan. And Solomon, this will be your second appearance at a Browns game. You had the opener against Cincinnati, and now you do the finale. You've kind of come full circle with this team.
Yeah, we get to see how much this team has grown, or maybe the lack thereof, as I've been studying and preparing for this game. I think you probably see a team that's traded sideways throughout the course of the season. And I think that's why you see the record being what it is, the failure to improve in those areas that plague you in week one, and to still have them plaguing you going into week 17, it's got to be rather disappointing.
Yeah, Solomon, that's been the story of the season. I think that first game you saw against the Bengals, somewhat of a microcosm, very familiar with what we've seen since. And the last time this team played the Steelers, it was a game that was close and frustrating for the Browns, because obviously they end up losing it and they don't end up scoring enough to help out, to complement a strong defensive effort. And Sheldon Brown, who was on this show last night, the veteran corner for the Browns, made the comment that overall, and he wasn't saying this was just an offensive thing, he said it was a team thing and it was a defensive thing as well, very accountable in that regard, saying we just kind of play well enough to lose.
Yeah, and he's right. Not scoring nearly enough points on offense, and obviously you can't average 11, 12 points a game and think that you're going to be in contention to do anything and to win enough. And while the defense ranks very high, along with the other defenses within the division, not scoring enough points is the main focus. I think it's the number one problem of this football team. In this league, would it be in a passing league, you've got to be able to score points. But then, like what last week, when you have the opportunity to score points, you've got to be able to make sure you get the ball into the end zone. And if you got to throw the ball to be able to stop the clock, you got to call a timeout, if you got whatever it is, you got to manage the game appropriately at the end of the first half and the end of regulation to give yourself opportunity to put points on the board.
What are some of the pieces that you think are needed, Solomon? Because that's what a final game like this is going to be, the focus, the final games. When you're out of the playoff running, it's everything about the future and what you have in place that you can develop and what you still need. What is your general take on how this Browns team can get better going forward?
Well, I think it's got to be the offensive weapons. And you look at the real good teams, there are multiple weapons. There are weapons on offense that make the quarterback position easier, that you don't need to be prolific. And it's impossible to be prolific if you don't have that running back on third down who can be the check down guy, like a Darren Sproles. And if you don't have a tight end who can dominate over the middle of the field, and I think these tight ends, Ben Watson and Evan Moore, are good enough to do that, but they can't be effective if you don't have someone who can lift the coverage off the defense. And so you need someone to stretch the field. You need that other receiver to be a chain mover, a possession guy, an over-the-middle guy. You need multiple weapons, and this offense lacks them. And then if Peyton Hillis defects via free agency, one can argue you're going to need a runner. And he hadn't been healthy this year, so you really needed one this year. So those are the areas that stand out the most. I like what I'm seeing on defense. I saw growth and improvement over there. But offensively, you've got to have dynamic weapons, multiple weapons, to help your quarterback.
When you look at four wins, and when people who have been understandably frustrated and critical see four wins and see one fewer win than last year so far, it's hard for them, I guess, to see what the positives might be from this year. But one obvious one that I take away is when this team has played divisional rivals the second time around, they've played better. They played a much better game against Cincinnati at Cincinnati. They played a far better game against the Ravens last Saturday at Baltimore. And I guess if you're talking about, in the case of the Ravens, competing with the big boys of the league at a level that lets you feel that there's maybe less of a gap there. Is that truly a sign of encouragement that if the points that you made about what is needed to make this team better, that you're actually building on a foundation that can go somewhere?
I think you have to feel better. I think if you look at within this division, the AFC North, you're probably going to have three teams if the Bengals win against Baltimore, three teams from this division going to the playoffs. So it tells you what kind of competition you're playing against. But all four teams in the division, including the Cleveland Browns, have a top 10 defense, and they rank in the top 10, all four of them, in terms of points allowed. Those are numbers that you can really feel good about if you're the Cleveland Browns. In fact, it's the thing that's allowed you to go toe-to-toe with the other teams in your division in some very close games. So you feel really good about some of the progress you're seeing. And that's why you can, I believe, put your focus on the other side of the ball. The offensive line, as you well know, when I saw him week one, it was in tatters. And gotten somewhat better, but not a whole lot better. I think that's an area you got to address. But those weapons at those skilled positions on offense, to me, those are primary along with the offensive line.
Solomon Wilcox with us from CBS Sports. He will be on the call of Sunday's game with Kevin Harlan here at Cleveland Browns Stadium. And also, of course, Solomon, a former standout NFL player. So you come at this from a lot of perspectives. And how much solace can you take as a team? And maybe it's not even solace. It's the idea that it's two ways here, that you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you've been playing with a one-legged quarterback pretty much, and then you had your backup in one game, and you've been weathering that reasonably well. Obviously, the second half of that Cleveland game when Ben Roethlisberger suffers the high ankle sprain, it didn't look so good, obviously, against San Francisco a week later, but then Charlie Batch and your running game carry you through. And then on the flip side of that, the solace being that the Browns, for as tough as their season has been, pushed the Steeler team to the limits at Heinz Field. So does Pittsburgh come into this game and looking with Ben Roethlisberger practicing, it looks like they're just pushing to get him out there. I don't know how much, but you know that they're taking this very seriously and taking the challenge from the Browns very seriously.
Well, I think they are definitely taking it very seriously. It was just a few weeks ago, they were at home and the Cleveland Browns, that defense beat up on Ben Roethlisberger. You softened them up for the 49ers, so to speak. And the ability to do that really comes from just how good this defense is. Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, know that going into Cleveland is going to be a tough proposition. And trying to come out of there with a win is going to be tough. You're going to have to get bloody to do it. That's what divisional games are about, when teams know one another very well and very familiar. And Dick Turan's group on the defensive side are a very proud group, and I've just seen them get better. I love their defensive lineman, the rookie Jabril Sheard. He leads them in sacks, and so when you have a rookie who is stepping up and taking his game to another level, and Phil Taylor and those guys, it makes everyone better around them, and you know those guys only get better in their second year, so you take a lot of solace in that. But as you well know, some of these good performances that allow you to be nip and tuck with some of the best competition, you got to start winning those games. And to win one here in the final season against Pittsburgh, I got to believe it will do wonders for the confidence of a young football team in the offseason.
One of the lasting images from that previous Browns-Steelers game was that, of course, of James Harrison with the helmet-to-face mask hit on Colt McCoy, causing the concussion that is now going to cause McCoy to miss his third consecutive game. Earlier this week, Pat Shurmur was asked by the media in different ways about retaliation or any thoughts about that this team might have, the Browns might have in this game. And again, Solomon, speaking both as an analyst but also as a former player, how much does that possibly come into play? How much of a storyline is that for you as you approach this game with CBS?
Well, it's certainly a storyline, simply because every time it seems like the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns play one another, James Harrison is knocking someone out of the game, whether it's Muhammad Masakwa, whether it's his good friend Joshua Cribbs, or in this case, Colt McCoy. And so this is what's happened each of the last 2 years. And so now they're going to meet for a fourth time in 2 years. And so it's a story now. There's no doubt. You remember that game last year that those two hits he laid on a couple of players is what really brought about the reinstitution of new rules and a new way of looking at player safety. So James Harrison's almost the poster child for these new rules.
Right.
And it started with his play against Cleveland. And obviously the Browns come under scrutiny because of whether or not a concussion test is being given. Those stories are alive and well because it was recent. Wasn't that long ago. And he's only been back for one game. And so, yeah, there's definitely it's going to be part of our storyline. Won't be the major storyline because there's playoff ramifications. There's a division title on the line, obviously, in the AFC North. There's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching. We got whether or not Ben Roethlisberger is going to play and if Charlie Batch is playing. And can he fulfill the deal? So there are a number of storylines, but that's certainly one of them.
But you, as a player, know about the whole cost of doing something that is beyond the rules when it comes to, again, trying to retaliate or, say, intentionally hurt another player. And you would think, too, this officiating crew is going to be very attentive to that Sunday.
I would expect. There's no doubt. They're going to be on top of it. I think they're already on top of James Harrison. They're watching, and they're going to make sure they're protecting the quarterback. But this one's a little different because now Seneca Wallace is one that's a little bit more mobile as well. And so it'll be interesting to see how Harrison handles playing against a more mobile quarterback who is apt to get out of the pocket and run and turn it up the field and keep it. I thought it was a fair call on Harrison. I thought he took two more steps well after McCoy had released the ball. There was two more steps taken by the defender, in this case Harrison, who then kind of led with his head. So I think it was justified to be called. I don't think they were singling him out by any stretch of the imagination.
And just your general take, because you do pay close attention to that AFC North, it being your former division as a player with the Bengals. How do you look at it, Solomon, in terms of how this can play out, knowing what you know of the Steelers, of the Ravens?
Well, I think the way it could actually turn out is, obviously you need the Bengals to kind of help out. I just think the Ravens are a proud bunch. I think they are a veteran bunch going up against a young Bengals team. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Ravens will end up winning it. You're going to see Pittsburgh Steelers as a number five seed. But no matter how it shapes out tomorrow, or excuse me, on Sunday, I believe these two teams will meet for a third time. And when they meet for a third time, I just think it is so difficult to beat any team in this league three times in one year, let alone the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
So the Ravens have got their work cut out for them. Even a division title doesn't assure them of anything except a first-round bye, but the team they could be staring at will be the Pittsburgh Steelers again. And something tells me that would be the last thing they would want.
Solomon, great stuff as always. I look forward to seeing you Sunday, and thank you, and a happy new year in advance.
All right, Vic, thanks for having me.
All right, Solomon Wilcots from CBS Sports. He will be on the call for Sunday's game with Kevin Harlan, and we will continue on with Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Your year-end savings have arrived at Liberty Ford. Liberty has more vehicles in stock than ever before, with thousands on sale to choose from, like the best-selling 33-mile-per-gallon Fusion, or lease the fuel-efficient Ford Focus for just $169 a month. That's right, lease the Focus for only $169 a month. Hurry in now to get the best savings of the year at Liberty Ford. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the Lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home. Your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game.
Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Not all criminals carry a gun or a knife. Some simply need to pick up the phone or ring a doorbell. In times like these, senior citizens are often the targets of con artists, hawking shady investment deals and phony charities. Be wary of strangers in your neighborhood soliciting services or asking for money. Many cons come in the way of phony home repair services. These thieves offer major home repairs at bargain prices, but they end up taking your money and never finishing the work. Don't become a victim. Be skeptical of offers that are too good to be true. Never allow anyone to force you to sign something, and never give personal information to people you don't know. Get estimates and never pay in advance. If you suspect fraud, get the contractor's license plate number and call the police immediately. If something doesn't seem right, it's probably not. Protect yourself. Visit ncpc.org to learn more. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Brock Lesnar returns to the octagon to face his biggest opponent yet, Alistair Overeem. Plus, Donald Cowboy Cerrone takes on the pride of Stockton, Nate Diaz. The Ultimate Fighting Championship presents UFC 141, Lesnar versus Overeem, live this Friday night, only on pay-per-view.
UFC 141 on Time Warner Cable pay-per-view. Order with your remote or call 1-800-CW-CABLE.
Bullseye Activewear, a local favorite partner of the Cavaliers and Lake Erie Monsters, can help you outfit your staff, your team, or school. Now, whether you need employee uniforms, safety apparel, spirit wear, or thank you gifts, Bullseye Activewear has got you covered. Check them out at bullseyeactivewear.com or call them 330-220-1720.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at Pickwick and Frolic and Hilarity. Dinner show packages are available. Call 216-241-7425 or visit hilarities.com for more info.
Hey guys, three-time Super Bowl winner Gerard Carey here for Sunnyside Audi. I have decided it was time to join the Sunnyside Audi team. Just listen to these stats. Sunnyside Audi is Ohio's only exclusive four-time Magna Society dealer. They're Ohio's number one exclusive sales leader, number one certified pre-owned dealer, and number one in overall customer satisfaction. They have the best staff in the business taking care of you and your vehicle. I've got a new Audi from Sunnyside, and I can tell you, driving an Audi is an experience like no other. Sunnyside Audi has all the models like the redesigned A6, new A7, and new A8. If you want the best of the best, Sunnyside is Ohio's only exclusive R8 dealer. Drive what the pros drive. Head to Sunnyside Audi. They're right off of 71 at Pearl, or you can check them out online at sunnysideaudi.com. East side, west side, it's always Sunnyside. Sunnyside Audi.
Hi, this is Alex Mack, and you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
A little smoky to help welcome us back to Cleveland Browns Daily. As the center just told you, it's driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Fans, learn how you can win sweet tickets and Browns merchandise in the Cleveland Browns second chance drawing. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/Ohio Lottery for more information. And this Around the League segment, it's driven by Liberty Ford. So pleased to have with us now from Pro Football Talk, NBC, one and only Mike Florio. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Vic, it's always great to be with you, buddy.
Well, Mike, a lot of attention this week to the matchup that has Kyle Orton facing his former team, the Broncos, and maybe coming in with a pretty big chip on his shoulder, getting a chance to demonstrate that he would be the better guy, now that he's playing for the Chiefs, the better guy than Tim Tebow.
Yeah, the prodigal son returns, but not under the circumstances anyone in Denver had envisioned. They let the guy walk away. This falls under the heading of no good deed goes unpunished. He wanted out. They let him go. He entered the waivers process. The Chiefs claimed him, and now he comes back in week 17 with designs on knocking the Broncos out. And it's funny, Vic, because for weeks, John Elway, the director of football operations in Denver, was very cool about Tim Tebow. Now Elway needs Tebow. Elway needs Tebow to save Elway. Because if this blows up on the Broncos, Elway's going to get the blame for it. So they need Tebow to step up and win this game and deliver the AFC West title and not be in a situation where anyone's asking as of next Sunday night, why in the world did we let Kyle Orton go?
Yeah, it's a game that really puts more pressure clearly on the Broncos than it does on Kyle Orton, right? I mean, he comes in there and, you know, all he has to do is play a game. If it doesn't work out for him, okay, it didn't work out for him. He changed sort of horses in mid-race. But if it doesn't work out for the Broncos, they're the ones that would end up looking the worst in this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Chiefs are dangerous because they have nothing to lose. There are players on that team that would very much like to see Romeo Crennel, the former Browns coach, become the permanent Chiefs coach instead of the interim Chiefs coach. And you just throw everything into a vat and stir it up, and it spells potential trouble for the Broncos, and they're just going to have to find a way to pull this one out, or there will be some issues that resonate into the offseason. And if Tebow plays like he did in Buffalo, and it was just an ugly spectacle from Tebow, you'd have to think that he'll be on a somewhat shorter leash in 2012. He's going to get the full offseason to improve. But if he struggles early into September, October of next year, you could see the Broncos start thinking about going in a different direction.
We've already seen several coaching changes in the league this season, or multiple coaching changes. And now that we get down to week 17, that story angle intensifies. And I guess the one place where the spotlight on that will shine the brightest is Sunday night, the final regular season game of 2011, when the Cowboys take on the Giants. Your thoughts on what the implication of the outcome could mean to both the coaching staffs, Mike?
Well, I think that the losing coach really does have to be concerned. In New York, Tom Coughlin, I have a feeling, is going to get another one-year extension. That's what the Giants did last year when he would have been a lame duck in 2011. They did a little one-year Band-Aid because you could never be a lame duck head coach in that market. It would be too big of a distraction. You have to either give him an extension or move on. I think they'd give him a short-term extension, even if they fail to get there. But there'll be plenty of reason to look at the third straight season in which a promising start evaporated completely and say it's time to make a change. And I think all the while Bill Cowher is going to be sitting there watching and waiting, because I think that's the job he's going to wait for. For the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the owner, has said Jason Garrett's his guy, but he said Wade Phillips is his guy, and he said once upon a time he wasn't going to cut Terrell Owens. So Jerry Jones reserves the right to change his mind at any time. And if I was Jones, and if I don't make it and I miss it by one game, I have a hard time forgetting about the play calling in the second half of the Lions game after the Cowboys were up by over 20 points and they kept throwing the ball, and that really set the stage for an epic collapse. And I'd go back to that Cardinals game with the gross mismanagement of the timeouts and then calling a timeout that created the perception that Jason Garrett was icing his kicker. It'd be hard to get past that. With Jeff Fisher out there, I wouldn't be shocked if Jerry Jones decides to swap out Garrett for Fisher.
There are several other places, of course, Mike, in the same category where there'll be a lot of attention for the potential for change. San Diego, where there's Norv Turner sitting on a pretty hot seat there. Tampa Bay, Raheem Morris. The Rams, Steve Spagnuolo. Indianapolis, Jim Caldwell. All of those situations are going to clearly get some attention. And another name I'm just going to... I don't know that he belongs on this list at all, but just because of the way things have been unfolding with the Jets, something there, if it's not Rex Ryan, certainly issues have come up with Brian Schottenheimer as offensive coordinator. But on that list I just ran down, what are your thoughts?
Well, the four that you mentioned initially, San Diego, Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and Indianapolis, I think in all four cities, the coach gets fired. Rex Ryan raises an intriguing point, not necessarily because he's on the hot seat now, but when would he be on the hot seat? Would it be next year? Would it be the following year? At some point, the act is going to wear thin. At some point, the 53 men in the locker room, his primary audience, are going to start rolling their eyes when he does his chest-thumping routine. And with all that said, Vic, there's a way this all plays out. The Jets make it back into the postseason as the sixth seed, and they go to Houston, and they win in the wild card round, and then they go back to New England where they upset the Patriots last year when the Patriots were the number one seed. So they can they could luck into this thing and find themselves bouncing up to the AFC title game again, which will table all of these tough questions for at least a year. And I think the toughest question of all, apart from Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, is what do you do with Mark Sanchez, the quarterback? He's got 2 years left on the contract. At what point do you start looking? And I'm told that they are going to start considering their alternatives with Mark Sanchez.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and NBC. Of course, you see him on Football Night in America, and you will on Sunday night. When we look at the rest of, you mentioned Tom Brady, and you look at the rest of this playoff picture that we also talk about, that gets interesting at least when there are some lingering injuries of quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers still trying to battle his way back from an upper ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain. How does that affect him going forward? And now Tom Brady sitting out of practice today with a shoulder injury. What do you know about that, and how concerned should the Patriots and their fans be?
Well, the key is it's his non-throwing shoulder, and I don't think there's any strong belief at this point that he won't play. There was some discrepancy about whether and to what extent he practiced today. I have a feeling he's going to be officially listed as limited in practice, but all indications are he'll play. And one of the most intriguing subplots, Vic, of this weekend is whether or not a record that lasted for 27 years, the single-season passing yardage mark, will last only 6 days. Because Tom Brady is 190 yards behind Drew Brees. And if the Saints, Sean Payton, reel Drew Brees in at all, that could be the opening Tom Brady needs to take that thing. So it could be Dan Marino from 1984 to December 26th of 2011, and then Tom Brady, January 1 of 2012. I mean, it would just be amazing if it plays out that way.
That is really a scenario. And since you brought that up, too, about Brees, the conversation about MVP or league MVP, and I always know that there's always that backup plan of whoever doesn't get the MVP can always be the offensive player of the year. So what's your take on Aaron Rodgers, who I would think is the hands-down MVP of the league, but then you've got Drew Brees, and we give him the offensive player of the year award, or do you flip-flop it, or what do you want to do there?
Yeah, and I still don't understand how, if you're an offensive player who is deemed to be the most valuable in the league based upon your performance on offense, how are you not also the offensive player of the year? But I think it's kind of a loose, unwritten way to acknowledge two guys. And I think it would be, as it was in 2008, Drew Brees, when he came within 15 yards of Dan Marino's single-season record, he was the offensive player of the year. And someone else, I can't remember who it was, but it may have been Peyton Manning, was the MVP. So I think something similar will happen. But I'll tell you this. If the way the dust settles on week 17, Vic, is the Patriots with the number one seed, and if Brady ends up taking that record, and people take an honest look at the roster of the Packers and the roster of the Patriots and look at what Aaron Rodgers has had to work with and what Tom Brady has had to work with, you may see some people decide to shift toward Tom Brady. That's still not maybe enough to close the gap under the AP's 50 voters, one vote per person approach.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be closer than the 45-5 that everyone is expecting at this point.
Pro Bowl snubs are always fun topics to talk about, and that's been the topic of the week after the Pro Bowl selections. Although, you know, for generally speaking, I look at it, and I think a lot of the voting got it right, but it seemed to be some hard feelings among the Houston Texans, and particularly Brian Cushing, that he was left out.
Well, and I think the more upsetting thing coming out of Houston is the fact that none of the offensive linemen made it to the Pro Bowl. And the reality is, offensive line, typically it's reputation and name recognition. And once you make it as a left tackle like Joe Thomas, now Joe Thomas had another good year, you have to have a pretty bad year before you fall out of that. And I think one of the always fun things about when they get the Pro Bowl rosters together, they don't have anybody to play right tackle. All the tackles are left tackles.
Right.
And it's like, okay, who's going to play right tackle? But the Texans, I think, really got snubbed when it comes to the offensive line. With Cushing, the answer's obvious. Once you have that scarlet letter of a 4-game suspension for a positive steroids test, that is hard to live down. And I think that had a lot to do with it. And even though he shifted inside and had a good year, and maybe you could make the argument persuasively that he deserves it, he is going to have to live with that steroid suspension for a long time.
Mike, one of my favorite parts of Fox's broadcast of the NFL is watching Mike Pereira when they go to him and you get his ruling on a controversial call or a close call or something, again, that you just want to hear from an expert, a guy who was in that position of head of officiating for the league previously, and just kind of a unique, ideal media role that he has. But now he steps it up to writing a column for Fox Sports' website, ripping John Gruden and basically saying, you know, calling him a blowhard and John the broadcaster now, but clearly spewing a little bit of venom, if you will, from him, from Mike Pereira not really liking the guy who is always after the officials, I guess, as a coach. What do you make of that story?
Well, I'll tell you, my first reaction was, Vic, I wonder what kind of conversations these guys had when Gruden was a head coach and Pereira was the VP of officiating, because I think there's more of a backstory to this than anyone realizes. And secondly, this is kind of an inside baseball slant on the whole thing. Folks get very sensitive when someone with one network criticizes publicly someone with another network. And I'll tell you this, a couple of years ago, I criticized Joe Buck because I thought he was disinterested at best in that epic Packers-Cardinals wild card game, which had an Arena League final score. And I heard from people at Fox who thought that because I'm now affiliated with NBC, I have an obligation not to call out people from other networks. Well, I hope those same people are asking the same questions internally as it relates to the decision to post a column from a Fox employee criticizing openly and very vehemently and strongly an ESPN employee, because if that's the standard, if the standard that they had tried to apply to me is the standard, they need to apply it in-house too.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, and that's really a different kind of take and an interesting.
I probably shouldn't even said that.
Well.
But I've probably written about it at some point on my website, because it's like, hey, you know, I think you call it like you see it. If people don't like it, that's their problem.
That's always been your way, Mike. So
that's
why you are who you are. Mike, thank you so much for the great breakdown, and we look forward to talking with you down the line.
All right, Vic, Happy New Year, buddy.
He is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and from NBC. You catch him on Football Night in America. Great website, of course, Pro Football Talk. Always check that out. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Your year-end savings have arrived at Liberty Ford. Liberty has hundreds of pre-owned vehicles in stock now, less than 10 grand. That's right, $14,000, $13,000, $12,000 vehicles, all priced under 10 grand. Visit LibertyFord.com for pre-owned vehicles with special internet pricing, all makes and models. Rates as low as 1.9%. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Vinson, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns Stadium and the Browns Training Facility have just the right spaces to help make your next private event a masterpiece. The Browns offer up to 30 unique and inviting venues that can make your wedding, bar and bat mitzvah, holiday party, prom, or other social or corporate event a success. For more information on how you can host your next private event with the Browns, call 440-824-6162 or visit clevelandbrowns.com.
Now at the Winter Storage event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com. Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
And we truly, truly appreciate the fact that you're spending this portion of your Thursday with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, 2012 season tickets make a great holiday gift, and it's still not too late to give a holiday gift. We're still in the holiday mode. So place your deposits now for 2012 season tickets and receive your choice of a Cleveland Browns ornament or a Browns winter hat, along with a holiday certificate to present to your favorite Browns fan. For more information on how you can place your 2012 deposits today, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this History versus the Steelers segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Each week we take a historical look at the series between the Browns and their upcoming opponent. And this week's opponent is the Pittsburgh Steelers again for the final game of the regular season on New Year's Day. And helping us to break it down, as he always does, is our resident historian, Steve King. Steve, how you doing?
Good, my friend. How are you?
All right. Well, we've covered the series in sort of the game-by-game detail in the previous matchup between the Browns and Steelers. For this one, we'll have a little bit of fun because it's such a great rivalry that there are many stories that just emanate from this. But let's talk about it as, first and foremost, the Turnpike rivalry and explain what that's all about.
Well, you get on the Ohio Turnpike just south of Cleveland and take it as far over east as you want to take it, and you get on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it takes you right to Pittsburgh. And so you're basically, you know, the cities are 2 hours apart, and go from point A to point B on the Turnpike. And years and years ago when, you know, people used to travel the federal routes, and all of a sudden now they have a Turnpike and they can make time. Well, that was a big deal, and it became the Turnpike rivalry.
And a lot of crisscrossing of key people in the history of these teams, from Cleveland to who are, and this is a nice little juxtaposition here, but Chuck Knoll, the legendary Steelers coach, the Hall of Famer, is a Cleveland native, a Benedictine High School product, and then and a guy who had played messenger guard and linebacker for the Browns from 1953 to 59. On the title-winning teams, 54-55. But Bud Carson, who would later become head coach of the Browns, is a Pittsburgh native and, of course, spent some time with the Steelers.
He was really the architect, along with Knoll, of those great Steeler defenses in the 70s. And you think of Bud Carson, you think of his time with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but his only head coaching job that he ever got in the NFL, the first and the last one, was with the Cleveland Browns in 1989.
And we can go even further with that. Bill Cowher, another standout Steeler head coach, was a Browns linebacker and a special teamer, an assistant coach here in Cleveland. And Mike Tomlin, who's the current head coach of the Steelers, spent much of the 2000 training camp with the Browns. He was part of the league's minority coaching scholarship internship program. Matt Barr spent his first two seasons with the Steelers and then ended up with the Browns in midway of 81, was here through 1989. So a lot of crisscrossing between these franchises.
Yeah, and Marty Schottenheimer, the Browns coach through the last half of the 1980s, is a Pittsburgh guy.
Right.
And a Pittsburgh guy through and through. And it was kind of unique because when Marty was coaching the Browns, Knoll was coaching the Steelers. You had a Pittsburgh guy coaching the Browns. You had a Cleveland guy coaching the Steelers. Now, that may not sit well with the real hardcore people in either city, but that was the real gist of it. And it really kind of spelled the rivalry because, Vic, as we talked earlier, and we need to keep pointing this out, this is a rivalry between two cities and two groups of people that they may not want to admit it, but they're very similar.
Very similar, and that's why the pride in each other's team and the importance of winning these games. And a guy who picked up on this as a player, and he was not from either city, but he was a Cleveland Brown to the marrow, was Doug Deacon, a former Browns offensive lineman, of course, the color analyst on the Browns radio network and a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He, in his playing career, this is, I think, a pretty funny story. So before the teams would play a game in 1974 at Cleveland, Deacon is doing an interview with a TV reporter, and that reporter is asking him to assess the player he's going to be facing. That's the right end for the Steelers, Dwight White. And Deacon, who is Mr. Chatty, we know that, does interviews. He just stands there and doesn't say a word. Why is that, Steve?
Well, he says, you know, my parents brought me up that if I couldn't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all and don't comment. And the poor reporter, and it was one of these young reporters, probably fresh out of school, maybe an intern. It was a, you know, Saturday night, you know, the TV newscast.
Right.
And this poor girl, poor woman, just stands there looking like, now what do I do?
Wow.
And Deacon just has that sly smirk on his face. And it was one of the great moments. Nobody but nobody understands the Browns-Steelers rivalry better than Doug Deacon. And that was kind of the paramount moment of it.
And I recall this, and it's a photo. I've seen, there are at least a couple of these photos, one of them here in Berea that I've seen, one of them over at the stadium. But it's a classic, a black and white photo of Joe Turkey Jones from the Browns taking Terry Bradshaw, Steelers quarterback, the Hall of Famer, and planting him into the ground head first. It is like one of the moments that probably best defines this rivalry.
And it was right at the time when that rivalry was beginning to really heat up, because this was the 70s. The Steelers were getting, you know, better and better and better, winning Super Bowls, and the Browns were kind of digging in their heels and trying to fight back. And to take the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback and spike him into the ground like you were planting a tree, it didn't need any fuel, it didn't need any gasoline to be poured on the fire, but it certainly did.
And this might be my favorite of all the nuggets you've pulled out about this rivalry, and that is the origin of the Steelers logo on their helmet, and that originates from none other than Cleveland.
Yes, United States Steel office in Cleveland had that logo, and the Steelers were looking for something to put onto their helmets, and you know, they talked with U.S. Steel, and the thought was that Pittsburgh was so, you know, indelibly linked to the steel industry that, you know, hey, you could use this logo. It's one of was the more or less the steel manufacturer's logo. Put it on the helmet, and they dressed it up a little bit. And, you know, my goodness, you know, that was like Macy's giving Gimbel's, you know, the trade secrets.
Right,
you know, how dare you do that in Cleveland? But it's kind of interesting, and I'm sure there are not many people that know that story, but when I look at that symbol, I think of where that thing emanated, and it kind of makes you chuckle a little bit.
Great stuff as always, Steve. We've appreciated it. These have been great vignettes all season long that you've done for us.
Well, my pleasure. It's been fun doing them, and I hope the fans enjoyed them, hearing them as much as we enjoy doing them here.
No doubt. And we will continue on with you with more historical perspective as we move forward. He is Steve King, our resident historian. You could read his great work on Browns history on ClevelandBrowns.com. You could see it on our video platforms. You hear him right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And take a tour with Steve over at Cleveland Browns Stadium. If you're interested in that, call 440-824-3361 or email tours@clevelandbrowns.com. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Year-end savings have arrived at Liberty Ford. Liberty has more vehicles in stock than ever before, with thousands on sale to choose from, like the best-selling 28 mile per gallon Escape, or lease the fuel-efficient Ford Edge for just $219 a month. That's right, lease the Edge for only $219 a month. Hurry in now to get the best savings of the year at Liberty Ford. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Maple Heights, Brunswick,
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Golf Tech knows that avid golfers want the gift that keeps on giving, better golf. So Golf Tech has three great holiday improvement options for you. Get started with a 60-minute swing evaluation and one follow-up golf lesson, or get three follow-up lessons with the premium improvement package. If you sign up for any lesson program or improvement plan before December 31st, you'll receive 10% off the investment. Go to givebettergolf.com. That's givebettergolf.com, and mention the guys at ESPN Radio to receive a free practice session, a $30 value.
Coming to the Improv Comedy Club for New Year's Eve from the Chelsea Lately Show, comedian and actress Lonnie Love. Come celebrate New Year's Eve with Lonnie Love at the Improv, located next to Shooters on the West Bank of the Flats. Lonnie Love, you've seen her on VH1's I Love the 70s and 80s and 90s show, and on Fox Sports, the best damn sports show, period. Now come see Lonnie Love live and in person, Saturday, December 31st. Call 696-IMPROV. That's 696-4677 for tickets to see the hysterically funny Lonnie Love. Bring in the New Year's with Lonnie Love at the Cleveland Improv. We'll see you there.
Looking for a unique holiday party destination? Go to the Bocce Club at Freeway Lanes in Wickliffe. They have four professional full-length bocce courts, and the services are directly from Italy. They are the only courts like it in Ohio. World-class bocce, affordable, and they can serve you small or large, no matter what your party size. Freeway Lanes in Wickliffe, go to freewaylanes.com to book your party. That's freewaylanes.com to book your bocce party now.
Hey, the Roadman, Kenny Rhoda here, and are you ready for the big finish event? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, and they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4, lease it right now, starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's nuts! I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and the fact that it's a trail-rated vehicle. I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4. Check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases and you want to buy. Even better, how about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty Sport 4x4? The big finish event is happening right now at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Call today for more info at 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
As we finish out this Motown Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, want to give you the results of the poll question, which we posted on the Browns official Facebook page. Do you think the Browns defense will continue their success, its success, I guess, against the run in the final game of the season? Of course, New Year's Day against the Steelers, and why? 77% of you said yes. I like the confidence there. Good. Okay. And John commented, well, he said, let's see, no, I hope the defense can stop the run and learn to punish when they tackle, like Ray Lewis and James Harrison do. Make the runner a little afraid of being hit, regardless of Browns. You know, John, I don't know. I'm not sure I agree that the Browns aren't all that. I think they've become more physical, and I think a little more punishing. And look, statistically, no. The numbers don't say this team has done well against the run for the season. It's been a season-long problem. But in the last few games, beginning with the first Pittsburgh game, contained Rashard Mendenhall pretty well and did a nice job against Beanie Wells and did a solid job against Ray Rice. Solid as in run defense. I understand. I know he got the 42-yard catch, but that was, and considering what had happened previously. Bill asks via Facebook, Browns Fish Facebook, I like Pat Shurmur, wondering what our plans are for the draft and free agency. Well, a little early for me to give you a detailed answer. I just think it's offense, offense, offense in big picture for both areas. I don't think they're going to operate with their back to the defense in any way, but I think it's going to be offense the whole way. Chet, I love this one. Chat, what are the possibilities, he asks, of the Browns shocking the world, offering Drew Brees a huge money contract, steal him, and then draft Justin Blackman, you know, the standout wide receiver from Oklahoma State, best one in the country, and then dominate the AFC North? I don't know. What odds would you put on that, Chat? I'm not putting very high odds on that. Yeah, the Saints want to say goodbye to Drew Brees and give him to the Browns or anybody. Sure, sure. I want to thank Solomon Wilcots. I want to thank Mike Florio. I want to thank, of course, Steve King. And I want to thank Pat McKenna and our great producer, Dave DiNatale. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.